This is the Mindset Toolkit Podcast. The continual pursuit of improvement. How's everybody going? My name is Selwyn, host of the Mindset Toolkit Podcast, and on this episode, I'll be talking about The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins, where I'll be distilling down the concepts and main points that Robbins raises in this great book. Thanks for joining me. This is part two of the two-part series regarding the 5-second rule. If you haven't listened to the first part, go check that out on last week's podcast. You can find that out in the feed of the podcasts. And just give you a primer of what I'm going to talk about today. And on today's podcast, we focus on courage and how the 5-second rule can help you build courage, or how Mel Robbins like to talk about everyday acts of courage. So you can use a rule to start new behaviors and even stop destructive behaviors. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you assert control over the situation. And what we talk about now is health, productivity, and procrastination, and easy ways that you can go through and change your life with 5 simple seconds. So with regards to health, there's a lot of information out there, and ironically, in today's world, we have so much information available to us, so many diet plans, so many health plans, so many exercise plans, it can be overwhelming. But the funny thing is that any of them will work as long as you stick to them. And that's the biggest part of the equation there, is you sticking to the plan, not deviating, not changing it up every 3 weeks, sticking to it for a year, 2 years, 5 years. But the biggest problem and the hardest part of it is when you get started, or before you get started, you don't want to be healthy. But it's these simple, hard tasks that actually accomplish the goal. We all know we need to eat more vegetables, eat less processed foods, but it's a lot easier and more satisfying, I guess, to go out and get some Taco Bell, to get some McDonald's, fast food, whatever that may be for you. It's a lot more appealing to eat those types of foods rather than have a salad or make a healthy meal that might take 45 minutes to an hour to create. But it's these simple, hard tasks that are the key to long-term success and achieving your long-term goals. And the biggest hurdle a lot of people face is that they want to start next week, next month, or even new year. We're coming up to that fourth quarter of the year where holiday seasons are upon us. We're in November. There's going to be Thanksgiving. There's going to be Christmas. If you're in America, there's definitely going to be Christmas and New Year's. And people are going to be like, they kind of write off the end of the year. This fourth quarter is written off in regards to health. They're like, oh, I'll be eating a lot here and there. I'll be having work functions, family gatherings, friendsgivings, a lot of things like that, where we'll postpone our health till January 1, 2018. Which is absolutely the wrong thing to do, because you can get started today, get a head start on all the people that would start in 2018, even just get a head start on yourself. Because what happens is you start eating healthier now, that's 2 months of healthy eating, and just say you have 5 family gatherings and 2 work functions, that's only 10 blowout days from now to the end of the year. Even if you do choose to eat as much and gorge and go on an alcoholic binge, which is probably the worst idea you can do. But even if you do that, that's only 10 days out of the around about 60 days of healthy eating that you'll achieve and exercise. So don't write off a 60-day time frame. Do it today. Because there's no better time to start than right now. People that want to quit cigarettes immediately stop smoking that day. Most of the successful quitters that I know stopped smoking that day. They didn't say, I'm going to quit smoking next week. This is going to be my last cigarette next month. They make the choice that day and they stop smoking. Period. And the problem is, it can seem impossible to bridge the gap between who you are today and who you want to become. And you can always choose how you act, but you can't choose how you feel. So we always have control over eating healthily and going for an exercise. We can't choose how we feel about eating healthily. We don't always feel like working out, but we work out anyway. We eat healthy anyway. Because we control how we act, we don't control how we feel. And eventually, we will be able to feel good about these things. Eventually, we will want to work out. We will want to eat healthily. And that's a path you have to start today. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go and work out. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, drop that donut. Simple things like that. Difficult? Yes. Easy? Yes. Simple? No. We can also use the 5-second rule to improve productivity. Productivity comes down to one thing, and that's focus. There's two points to this, where it's you have the ability to minimize distractions, and you have the ability to focus on what's important. Simply having the knowledge isn't enough. Knowing the distraction of notifications are bad doesn't change your behavior. We all know it's bad to spend an hour scrolling Instagram, an hour scrolling Facebook, but we still find ourselves doing these things. And you can use this 5-second rule to stop distractions. I know I do. When you realize you've been distracted, count down and simply exit the app. Put down the phone, lock the screen, just stop whatever it is you're doing. And if you recall back to a couple weeks back when I talked about Deep Work by Cal Newport, it kind of feels like that's the strategy, so that's the overarching theme of what you're trying to achieve, and the 5-second rule is a tactic of how you achieve deep work. So instead of getting caught thinking, oh, I need to do this, you can just simply 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, start what you know you need to be doing. Because one of the harder things that's going to have to be done is to be able to get the big picture focus on what you're trying to achieve. Robbins likes to refer to being a boss about your morning. She's a really big proponent of taking control of your mornings and creating a morning routine. This doesn't mean you have to be a morning person, it just means you have to become the boss of your morning. Like Drucker Willink says, discipline equals freedom, so just do it. So what you need to do is set your intentions and get yourself organized, because it will trigger a bigger chain of events. It's like that keystone habit. So the first 2 to 3 hours of a day are the best hours for your brain, your peak thinking, your peak productivity. So ideally, you want to get started early so you have a great foundation for the rest of your day. You want to get a head start on your day, tackle the big issues before you have to be reactive to other people's issues as the day goes on. And one of the best things you can do, or the best things you cannot do, is hit that snooze button. You never want to hit the snooze button because of sleep inertia. And this is because your sleep cycles are being interrupted. Your body wants to complete a full sleep cycle, but it gets short-circuited and your brain wants to sleep even though you're physically awake and able to do things. And some people, this might take around 4 hours to overcome sleep inertia completely. So what you want to do is as soon as you wake up or as soon as you feel that alarm go off, you need a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and get out of bed. Because when you hit that snooze button, say it's a 10-minute snooze, you're going to hit that snooze, go back to sleep. Your body's going to want to try and fall back to sleep, and it just might, but then it gets interrupted in 10 minutes. And that 10 minutes was not enough for you to get a full cycle. You need about 90 minutes to get a full cycle. So unless you have a good 2 hours before you need to get up, just say you woke up at 4 a.m., but you need to wake up at 6, go back to sleep. But if you wake up at 5:45, just stay awake. Don't go back to sleep. Because getting that extra 50 minutes is actually going to make you feel like you need another 4 hours of sleep. One trick that Tony Robbins talks about is a full immersion ice bath or a cold shower. Robbins is a little bit easier, and she just talks about sticking your arm under a cold shower just to wake yourself up and get the blood flowing. Another strategy Robbins talks about is to never sleep with your phone in the room. What this does is when the alarm goes off, you have to physically get out of bed and move to turn the alarm off. And also, if it's next to you, you're now tempted to open the phone and check it mindlessly. When it's outside of the room, you have to get up to scroll that Instagram feed. So sleep with your phones outside of the bedroom, but close enough where the alarm wakes you up. And this whole getting control of your mornings, being a boss of your mornings, the concept behind it is that you want to live proactively. You don't want to live in a reactive mode. So you need to find time for yourself before you check in with the rest of the world. The minute you open an email, social media, read the news, your brain's getting hijacked by other people's agendas and priorities, and now your priorities are no longer yours. It's somebody else's. So don't check your phone until you plan your day out. And when you write down your goals, you're 42% more likely to complete them. Also, writing them down, you need to write down why you need to do them too. Goes back to Simon Sinek, start with why. Because in those times when you don't feel like doing it, you'll remember the why you're doing it and why you're acting, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're going to go act and going to take action. And another thing Robbins talks about is setting a stop work time. You want to have a definite time where your brain is able to switch off and forget about work and actually unwind and relax. And once you hit this time, you can do whatever you want. Go surf the internet, go watch Netflix, go do whatever you want, but have a time in mind where you can actually stop working and stick to it. Next of all, Romus talks about ending procrastination. Basically, there are two types of procrastination. Destructive, which is when you don't do an activity that you want to do and know there's negative consequences for not doing it. And also there's productive, which is where you set aside time to allow your mind to wander, especially when trying to complete a big task, because part of the creative method is setting free time for your mind to comprehend and break down all the information that it's got to come up with a new innovative way to think. But the biggest difference between these two is that productive procrastination is a choice. And what's interesting is that Romans points out studies which actually shows the cause of procrastination. And procrastination isn't necessarily a form of laziness, it's actually a coping mechanism for stress. So the main drive is to avoid stress, not to avoid work. So it explains why we do other work instead of the work we need to do. We've all found ourselves cleaning up the house rather than studying for that exam, walking the dog rather than balancing the checkbook, things along those lines. What we're doing is avoiding the stress that those bigger tasks bring us. Or even if we have huge stress in other parts of our lives, we're going to find ways to cope with that by not doing anything that seems stressful to us. So it's procrastination because we're stressed, not necessarily from the task, but it could be from any source. And what happens is when we procrastinate, you get a little hit of dopamine when you distract yourself from that stress. But it becomes this compounding cycle where the work piles up because you've procrastinated, and then that gets you more stress, which leads to more procrastination, which leads to more work piling up, and leads to more procrastination. So here are three steps that Robbins talks about in order to help stop procrastination. Step number one is to take a second to forgive yourself. One of the problems is that we're really hard on ourselves, and instead of beating yourself up, you can focus on stopping the cycle. Focus that energy elsewhere. Step number two is to ask yourself, what would your future self do? The future you. It is the person you want to be in the future. And have this picture of yourself. Keeping that in mind will push you in the now. It'll give objectivity to the present moment. And finally, step three is to just get started. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't worry about finishing, just get started. The most powerful way to start a habit is to have a starting ritual. And the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is your starting ritual. So procrastination is a bad habit. You need to replace it with a good behavior pattern. And finally, you want to keep in mind of the progress principle, which is small wins along the way give us positive reinforcements to keep going on the tasks. Similarly, how distraction hit dopamine in our brain, these small little wins along the way will release little hits of dopamine and keep us walking towards our big goal. We can also use the 5-second rule to stop worrying. So whenever you find yourself worrying, use a 5-second rule to stop worrying. Because we've been taught as kids to worry constantly about dangers. Don't talk to strangers. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't stay out too late. Be careful when you are here. Be careful when you do that. So it's kind of this ingrained pattern in ourselves. So use a 5-second rule to think about something positive rather than something negative. Because our brains can just automatically think of the worst. When you get on that plane, don't think about it crashing because of an engine malfunction. Think about the destination you're going to and why you're going there. Because you need to ignore that bad inner voice. Your brain creates a fake reality. We've all been there. We've all experienced this. So you need a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and ask yourself what you want to remember about the moment. And this will interrupt the pattern of worry. Next, we can also use a 5-second rule to end anxiety. And Romans explains that anxiety is what happens when your thoughts of worry spiral out of control. It occurs when there's a disconnect between a physical response in the body and your surroundings. Your body begins to release fight or flight chemicals, but your brain searches for danger, yet there isn't any physical danger. So it thinks the current calm situation is dangerous. If you can give your body a reason to be stimulated, it shouldn't escalate any further. And simply telling somebody to calm down or think about something else actually makes it worse, because now you're fighting against it. What you actually want to do is use a 5-second rule to interrupt the default setting, and you want to reframe the anxiety as excitement, what your brain calls what your body is doing. So it's called anxiety reappraisal. Basically, you need to say to yourself, I'm excited, when you're starting to get anxious, because getting excited instead of being nervous is a mental shift, even though your body's physical response is very, very, very similar. So literally saying, before you go up to give a speech, before you go up for a job interview, before you do anything where you start to feel nerves, you need to say out loud to yourself that I'm excited repeatedly. And this works across all the boards, any situation, because the more you do it, the more your body will frame that physical feeling as excitement rather than nervousness or anxiety. And Robbins also talks about how you can use the 5-second rule to beat fear. It removes fears by using anxiety reappraisal called anchor setting. So what you need to do is create an anchor thought before you approach your fear, so a clear vision of what normal or positive thing happens afterwards. So you need an if-then planning. Create a backup plan in case. So plan A is to not get nervous. If that's probably going to fail, you have your plan B. 5-second rule, and then anchor thought to beat your fears. So she talks about the fear of flying. So she had a fear of flying. She thought about the positive things that are going to happen when she lands at her destination instead of the plane crashing. So she's going to think about the awesome vacation she's about to have whenever she lands at that destination, rather than focusing on the plane spiraling out of control. So when you're worried, your brain is distracted trying to fight the fear. The anchor thought, it redirects a brain to focus on that anchor thought instead of the fear. So you kind of start rewiring the brain to, again, think of the positive situation rather than what could go wrong or what is not right in this present moment. And the above points all go to building little everyday acts of courage that she talks about. And courage can change everything, because what it does is it builds real confidence. Because confidence is not a matter of personality. It just means you believe in yourself, and it is a skill that can be learnt. So don't confuse this with being extroverted. There are a lot of extroverted people that aren't actually confident. It's just their personality is extroverted, but their skill is not confident. Because confidence in yourself is built on everyday acts of courage. It's built on the small things you do every day that create inner trust in yourself, because you're making these actions for yourself. And it doesn't come naturally. That's why it's important to perform everyday acts of courage. Because it starts building this trust you have within yourself. You need a deliberate action to push yourself to act out of character. Introverts can overcome this by knowing your why. When you have a really strong why, you can step out of your introverted shell and have that confidence in yourself to start approaching other people. We're all capable of acting out of character when it serves a purpose bigger than ourselves. The 5-second rule can also help to find your passion. 5-second rule to start exploring and learning new opportunities and how to move into action. So you want to think of passion as a state of being. It's your body and mind energized. It's that thing you feel as you do things. And you don't want to start out trying to make money. Start it out as a hobby. That's the biggest mistake a lot of people can do. I've done that with photography. I thought it'd be cool to be a photographer. So instead of enjoying the photography as a hobby, tried to start selling photos. It didn't work, obviously. And the patience wasn't there. The passion wasn't there. So it's just off the wayside now. Because nothing will suck the passion out of a hobby than the stress of money being made in order to make a living. So also, never quit your job just to try and start a side project. That's really bad. You need to set up a system in place. Although this book talks about 5 seconds to action, you really need to understand that it's 5 seconds of small steps of action, not 5 seconds and quit your job right there and then. That's without any proper planning. Don't do that. That's a really bad idea. You need to plan your route. You need to plan your landing. You need to plan your exit strategy. Very different to what this book's talking about. And another interesting thing Robin points out is envy. When you're envious of somebody, look into it. What about them makes you jealous about them? Because that can spark a question as to really what you're passionate about. Because it might spark that curiosity that leads to the next thing or leads to you learning something new. Because when you're truly passionate about something, you'll skip anything to do what you're passionate about. And it's really cool in today's world because there's so many free resources available to pretty much learn anything. You want to learn how to code? There's Code Academy. You want to learn how to replace an engine? There's so many videos on YouTube how to do these things. It's the information age, and there is no excuse for not doing or learning anything, at the very least, in today's world. We have so much information so easily available to almost every single person on the face of this planet. You need to start living your dream and not living other people's dreams. And finally, the 5-second rule can be used to enrich your relationships. The biggest thing is to never leave anything unsaid, because you don't want to let the fear of being uncomfortable get in the way of talking with your people. And the truth is the shortest distance between two people. Silence creates distance and truth creates connection. And you want to use that 5-second rule to say the things that really matter to the people that really matter to you. And that's kind of it for the differing points across the book. Mainly in this second part was talking about everyday acts of courage and building self-confidence and changing your life. Because you want to remember, you're always one decision away from changing your life. You can do anything you want in life as long as you put in the work and give up your timeline for how and when you want it to happen. And a couple of quotes to summarize the 5-second rule is to you've been assigned this mountain so you can show others it can be moved. You can't change the past, but in 5 seconds you can change your future. When your heart speaks, honor it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, move. One moment of courage can change your day. One day can change your life, and your life can change the world. There is a greatness in you. The time to reveal it is now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. So that's all I have for today. So go ahead and definitely check out The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins. Read it and actually use it. This one's a really easy strategy to use. I really want you to read the book, but if you don't have the time, start using it every single day. Whenever you have that urge to do something, count down from 5 and go do it. It's that simple. This has been Selwyn on the Mindset Toolkit Podcast, and thank you for your time. Remember, what you learn today will serve you tomorrow. So go out and go get it.